Patience. the cross. He's dead. And so they're talking about a dead Savior, not a living Savior. But I want you to know, because of the celebration of Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's all hope. Without the resurrection of Christ, there would be no hope. I thank God for the new life that He offers us. He didn't just die on the cross and rise again the third day, so when you die, you'll go to the sweet by and by. He did all that so you can begin to live in the sweet here and now. In the nasty now and now. How about that? Abundant life, John 10:10, that's the verse that Life Ministries is founded upon. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly. That's the gospel of Christ. Not just so you can have your sins forgiven, so when you breathe your last, you go to heaven. Praise God for that. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm just a pilgrim passing through this world. But He did that so I can begin to experience life here and now, that abundant life. The Jesus kind of life. You can have that today. Maybe you feel like you're walking towards the setting of the sun. You can turn around. These guys turn around. Jesus appears. He has a common meal with them. And then they begin to realize, you know what? There's something familiar about this guy. Then they begin to realize who he is. And as quickly as he was there, Jesus is gone. And these men turn around. At that point, they head back to Jerusalem. Why? Because they just experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And their life is forever changed. And so instead of heading towards the setting of the sun, was when they realize it's Jesus back from the dead, the Bible says they turn around and begin to go back to Jerusalem, which is towards the rising of the sun. Certain Savior's not setting, He's rising. And there's coming a day He's going to be descending, and the church is going to rise, and we're going to be called up to be with Him forever. I'm looking forward to that time. I hope you're ready for that time. What a difference Jesus makes in our lives. These men were going towards the setting of the sun. Jesus appears. They turn around. That's repentance, too, by the way. A total turnaround. And so now they're going back to Jerusalem towards the rising of the sun. Now they've been given hope. When you experience the resurrected Savior, it changes you. It changes your life. I mean, they go from doom and gloom to hip, hip, hooray, and hallelujah. They go from having the melon gloves, man, to being on cloud nine. They go from thinking there is no hope to understand there's all hope. If He can die and rise again from the dead, and we put our faith in Him, there's nothing He can't conquer. And that's what we need to understand. There's nothing He can't conquer. Problems in your marriage? Listen, He's more than enough. You're addicted to drugs, alcohol, prescription drugs, pornography, gambling, overeating. He's more than enough. Depression, worry, you're controlled by panic attacks. He's more than enough. He offers us everything that we need. Either we believe that or we don't believe that. If He could defeat death, hell, and the grave, which He did on that third day, He can defeat whatever the enemy's throwing at you. One of these days, He's coming back for us. Now, I want to give you three things. Now, I know I'm in a dangerous place this morning because I'm the only thing standing between Baptist folks and a good meal. So I'm praying that God will help me not to be too long, and I don't want to be too boring, all right? But I've got three things I want you to get. Three things that I believe can bless you on this homecoming Sunday. First thing I want to say directly from our text, that God has given us to make sure that we live in hope, not hopelessness, God's forgiveness. Man, that ought to be an encouragement. And listen, we've all failed. We've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. We've all sinned. There's not a single person in this place who always gets it right. I mean, these people failed. These two disciples walking down the road, they failed. They didn't recognize it was Jesus when He appeared. And then when these two disciples go back to Jerusalem and they meet with the 11, because Judas is dead, he's not there now, he's not living now at this point. And they join the 11, and they're talking about the resurrection. The Bible tells us there's this fellow there, verse 34, his name is Simon. Always amazes me how the Lord is all about. He's just so quick to restore a man's dignity. He's so quick to step into a hopeless situation and give people that are so discouraged, who have messed up and failed. I mean, I think about Simon Peter. Now, you know Simon Peter. I mean, you remember Simon Peter in the Bible. He spent most of his time trying to get his foot out of his mouth. He denied the Lord three times, and yet he was one of our Lord's apostles, and yet he failed miserably, and one of the first people that our Lord Jesus in a glorified, resurrected body wanted to appear before and let him know I'm alive was Peter. Listen, the Lord doesn't want to beat you down. He doesn't want to beat transformed, and he'll change in your life what needs to be changed. But the first thing you need to do is just surrender to him, his grace and his power, the hope that he brings. Man, it's amazing to me. I thank God for God's forgiveness. I need God's forgiveness. You need God's forgiveness. I mean, let's get real this morning. How many times have we made promises to God that we didn't keep? How many times have we said, God, if you'll just rescue me, get me out of this bind, I promise I'm going to pray every day. I promise I'm going to read my Bible every day. I promise I'm going to get involved in Trinity Missionary Baptist Church. I promise I'm going to do what you call me to do. I promise I'm going to start giving. I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to start serving. Yet how many promises have we broken? And I thank God that God's not like us. I thank God that Jesus isn't like a lot of church folks. He's not going to judge us and knock us down and push us down. He wants to lift us up. He wants to forgive us. He wants to bless us. I mean, Peter, you know, there was a time Peter said, Lord, I'll never forsake you. The Lord said, there's going to come a time every one of you will scatter. And Peter said, oh, no, not me, Lord. I'll go to the grave before I deny you. He ends up denying the Lord three times. How many promises have you made that you failed to live up to? Listen, you can bring those broken promises to the Savior this morning and lay them down. Lay down the shame. Lay down the regret. Lay down the failures. Lay down the sin. Lay down the broken promises that you made to God and surrender to him. And he's willing to forgive you. He wants to restore you into right fellowship with him. That's the kind of Jesus we serve. Peter messed up. The Lord appeared to him. You messed up. Jesus is in this place this morning, right where you are. He's just a prayer away, right? Just a prayer away. All you got to do is look to him in faith. So just because you failed, we've all failed you. We've all failed you. How do we fail the Lord? I believe we fail the Lord. We don't stand up for him the way that we should. Maybe at school, maybe at work, your buddy's telling those dirty jokes and you don't say anything. We don't stand up for him when we're not the witness we ought to be. We don't stand up for him when we don't live out the faith that we proclaim that we believe. When we're not actively involved in a Bible-believing New Testament church, we fail him. I believe a lot of preachers fell in today. We got a lot of so-called preachers. You know what this new movement wants to call pastors now? They say, you know, we don't want to call you a pastor anymore. We don't call you a preacher anymore. You need to be called a spiritual facilitator. Well, la dee da. How about that? Let's move this pulpit out of the way. Let's get you a little stool up here. Get you in some faded jeans and old t-shirt. Oh, don't take the Bible up there. That turns people off. Just speak from your heart. We got a lot of so-called preachers today that got lace on their Levi's stopped running. And the floodgates opened. I just wept at that altar. All the pain, all the hurt, all the trauma, just pouring out, crying out to God. A broken man, addicted to drugs and alcohol. No peace, no hope. Feeling like life wasn't worth living. And when I got up off my knees from that altar, 27 years old, let me tell you, my life began to change. No turning back, no turning back. All the hope, all the peace I longed for, all that I had always searched for, I found at that moment, 37 years ago, when I surrendered to Christ. He spoke to my heart, peace. He broke the chains of addiction. I'm not an alcoholic anymore. I'm not a drug addict anymore. I'm not a man who has no hope anymore, because I've got the God of hope living in me. Yeah, that's a good place to say amen. God took a broken man. It's an amazing what God can do. I mean, I was just hurting, crying out inside, wanting hope, wanting peace, wanting joy. What do I do with the pain? I didn't know what to do with the pain. Until I met the God, the great physician, the God of hope. And he rescued me. If God can do that for me, God can do that for you. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. There's nothing he cannot overcome. He comes today speaking peace. He can give you that peace that you need, that you long for, that you hunger for. God forgives. All right, you got that one. Point number one. Point number two, God's peace. And one more point. Point number three, God's grace. God's grace. God knows you, and yet God still loves you. You need to let that sink in. I mean, he don't know you like the preacher knows you. He knows you. Yet he still loves you. Isn't that grace? That God would choose to love you in spite of you. That's God's grace. And God's grace, God gives us what we don't deserve. You know, Jesus appeared to these guys, and they thought, we've seen a ghost. Look down at verse 37. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. So what does Jesus do? Does Jesus condemn them? Does he give them a good tongue lashing? Does he put them in their place? No, he doesn't do any of that. I mean, he knew. Jesus knows how weak we are as humans. And so Jesus says, behold my hands, behold my feet. And they were able to come up and actually touch the nail wounds in his hand and the scars in his feet. And they're able to touch him. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't that be awesome? To touch the nail scars. To touch his feet. He was crucified on that cross for us. And then the Lord went a little bit further. He said, you know, I don't know if these guys really got it yet. They've seen me. They've heard me. They've touched my nail-scarred hands, my feet. They've seen the wounds. But I think I need to go a little further. So Jesus said, you got anything to eat? They said, yeah, we got some fish. Now, the King James Version of the Bible, I like the way the King James Version translates. pray in a way my grandmother could understand me. And then a broken man through my teenage years, the drugs and the alcohol and the addiction problems and all of that, and yet God could still use me. Man, that's an awesome God. That's a God of grace. That's a God who's able to take what's broken and do incredible things. And so whatever you're facing, there's hope. You say, I've been diagnosed with cancer. I only have a limited time to live. We've all got a limited time to live. The God of hope steps in. You got laid off. You don't have a job. Whatever the deal, I want you to hear this morning. There are no hopeless situations. Not with our Lord. He's able to defeat the